Very
quietly hit the button so nobody hears.
The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
Ouch. This project is extremely dangerous.
That's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a progression of course to effect, but
action. The part of Pickles will be played by Pickles this week.
Yeah.
And
now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Episode 129.
Ow. 40.
That's awesomeness.
29, right before 30.
Yeah. Episode Smurfly.
So, we have guests.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So, we have Timothy Starnes and friends, Savannah and Lisa, not Beth. And we're not going to put you through the rapid fire response round because you've already been through that before.
Okay.
We were counting on that.
Oh, were you?
Like, we had stung right. up.
You were asking questions on the way up. Like, what color underwear do you have on? I don't have underwear. But so, last time you were here, you had started a brand new venture out in Waxaw, which is not just a furniture place. You had started a ghost trail that was a special limited edition that you only had so many slots available per night.
And you guys were selling out like crazy.
That is absolutely correct. We're proud to say every night we sold out, and I even kind of pushed the boundary and took at-the-door sales for most of the times.
Nice.
So we were beyond sold out. We were astounded with how it went off.
Good
we were not expecting it, but it happened.
Hey.
And rave reviews out the wazoo. We couldn't have asked for a better turnout for that, honestly. It was amazing.
Awesome.
So now you're taking it
So what's happening now?
What's happening?
Why are you back in my house?
So,
you see Field? They do shows around town. You can catch them by Johnson. They sell sponges at Dollar Tree. What's the scoop?
So,
we're the same last name, so I feel like he's my cousin.
Maybe we are. Yeah. We haven't done
that start.
We haven't looked it up.
Every time Tim tries to open his mouth, you crack him up again.
I was doing my Giddy Geeker fresh.
So, after the success of the trail, we kind of got together like we did with the trail one afternoon and kind of went, well, this was so successful. What's kind of next in the lineup? And one thing I've been saying since I've been out of college for a year is I'm sick and tired of making other people rich, working for them and making them money.
Yeah.
So let's figure out a way to make this a permanent deal. What can we do to kind of expand this out and keep this running through the year and do crazy things? Like how I say now, our company's mission statement is to turn the city, the state of North Carolina into a theme park. And you can kind of go, how do you do that? So that was the exact question. So we came up with our name, Ethereal Crack. It sounds strange, which is exactly why we like it, because you hear Ethereal Crack, what is that? And you instantly pay attention. So
sort of the police, I think.
But can you imagine what good publicity that would be? Having a ghost walk get raided for no apparent reason. They just show up and raid it and everybody's just kind of standing there. Exactly. It'd be great press.
Yeah, yeah.
But so we went, okay, haunted. What can we do with that? That's a unique kind of thing.
Right.
So we went, okay. The first thing we were gonna try to do was a tea. We were gonna try and do like a Victorian tea house. It would have been great. But on the way out the door one day to meet with Lisa, I went, ghost tour. Ghost tour. Waxaw ghost tour, and I ran out the door. And I went and met with Lisa.
Okay.
And we kind of talked about it. She was actually doing a pet sitting gig. So we were sitting there petting dogs. And I went, well, what do you think about a Waxaw ghost tour? She went, well, I don't know. Maybe it would go.
Yeah.
But we look it up. Somebody had actually been doing it once a year in October, Saturday.
Okay.
But she passed away. So that kind of left the door open to us.
And you can still have her as a guest star, as a ghost.
See?
Oh my God, this is brilliant. All right, I'm excited now. All right.
So we went, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to try it. Yep. We wrote up the script. That was one day of work.
Wow.
And then we went, okay, we're going to open on the 28th of this month. So we opened last weekend. Had a good crowd turnout and everything. It's been great.
Okay.
But the thing is that in our long-term plan, this is not the only ghost tour opening. This is, we're of course not going to reveal where we're going to open additional ghost tours because like Waxhaw is just going to kind of show up in the middle of the night one night and people are going to go, oh, ghost tour. What is that? And then, of course, you can go on the ghost tour. And yeah. I guess this is the point where I should plug our tickets. we're running from 6 to 10, Friday and Saturday nights.
Wow.
Tickets are $15 per person if you're alone. But if you have a group of four or more, they're 25% off at $11.25 a ticket. Okay. And you can pre-book online at www.waxhawghosts.eventbrite.com. Or see us in person at our advertising signboard on the side of the road in Waxhaw and buy your ticket there. It's kind of key to mention that if you want to meet me or Lisa, we're going to be running it for a couple weeks. And then we have some staff who are coming in to kind of run it for us. So this is your opportunity to meet the ingenious minds behind the Waxhaw Ghost Walk.
Meet the voices.
Meet the voices.
No idea what these people look like.
Meet the producers.
Well, you could go on Facebook Live.
Theater of the mind.
Well, they may not look like what they saw today. It may be a little more ethereal.
Scarier.
It may have a few cracks.
Might be a little scarier.
Well, great. That sounds really good.
Yeah, so that's what's been happening.
So
we opened the company.
How long is the tour?
Okay, so we walk about an hour, and it's, I guess for those of us who might have trouble walking or anything, it's a very simple walk.
Easy
up and down
walk.
Public city streets, nothing strenuous. You hear about
so
tents.
This is not out in the woods like the last
right.
one.
Right, these
have
are
to look
city
for
streets.
And stuff like
right.
that, okay.
You go up and down city streets, it's about an hour, and you hear about 10 stories.
Wow.
And kind of the fun part is if you're really brave and come out to our signboard and everything, we'll soon have an audio commercial playing, and you can hear two free stories if you stand there for long enough.
Ooh.
So I guess I could even throw one out there right now because we're actually kind of close to it. So in doing some research, specifically to write our commercial, I looked up McAlpine Creek Park because there's supposedly some things going on out there, and it's very close to from where we're recording, I believe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is. Actually.
But in the 80s, two human skeletons were found out by the trail. There's the ruins of an old mill house there.
Ooh.
Two human skeletons were found there in the woods with the mill house.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it is said now, and it's been reported by multiple people, if you go out there at night with a flashlight, that some sort of like hostile spirit is out there, and it has attacked people before. So people go, if you're brave enough to go out, not that I'm suggesting it, disclaimer, don't sue me because you went out there and got attacked, but
I'm not sure how far I've got attacked by a ghost because somebody told me to walk in the park at night.
Well, I just want to put that out there.
You're not to blame for breaking into the public park then. Yeah, okay. It's clearly your fault.
But the story is from multiple people that if you go out there at night to that location, that there's a possibility that you could be attacked by something.
Wow.
People have been attacked. So, yikes. Not that I'm telling you to do it, but if you'd like to,
I'm not doing that.
Try it.
No.
I call mobile recording one night. We go out there and do it. Don't you have like a mobile microphone?
Oh, yeah.
See?
I'm not going out there, Timothy. No.
The flashlight.
The
you're the horror expert, Carol. You can go out there.
Yeah, Carol, the Guardians of the Geekery Ghost Hunter Edition. We can all go out there and do you hear something?
I know how to get there. I'll have Tally. And we get Tally to come
out. Yeah.
Tally would be good.
You know who Tally Johnson is, right? He actually writes ghost stories of the Carolinas.
Oh, well,
we'd
love that.
Ours.
We can get him to come out.
He comes and tells ghost stories. What's really cool is you would need to get him and then Valentine Wolf.
But I don't know if Braxton could actually like play and walk at the same time.
Well, he could use the one that's just the...
Just the
handle, the electron. Oh, well, yeah. I don't know. He'd have
Can he run, though, as he gets attacked?
But he plays a double bass. And so we have gone to conventions where Tally has told stories while
Braxton's
playing
his
this
double
bass file.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And then sometimes Sarah will go,
Valentine Wolf is our local...
God.
Chamber metal band.
Chamber metal.
Well, not local. They're in Greenville, but
close enough. Yeah.
Yeah. We love them.
Yes. So.
Yes, we do.
That is scary. Yes.
Yeah. McAlpine Park.
I used to walk there a lot during daylight hours.
You can like you can see it from the trails, the mill. Yeah, it's kind of crumbled. I think there's some sort of strange chain link fence.
Well, they put a chain link fence around
it. But it's falling in on itself. Like, it's not.
Vandals have pushed it down where you can get in.
But yeah, on the trails, you can see it down into the woods. The
mill's mostly standing. There's still four kind of walls.
There's a sort of chimney type thing still standing, and then you can kind of see the walls crumbling. Like it is very much a structure. You can see it if you look for it.
Have any of you ever had like what you felt would be a ghost experience?
Mm-hmm. That's included on the tour. We've actually thrown in some of our own personal stories on the walk. But I guess if you want us to tell one, we could each kind of tell one.
Tell a little one. I mean,
sure.
You've been talking a lot.
Like I'll tell one that's not on the tour.
Talk a little.
Oh, okay.
So, I in the past have had sleep paralysis, which I'm sure some of you know what it is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say that's like what happens when you get abducted by aliens. Now, I can't say that I remember anything being abducted by aliens, but weird things did happen when I had the sleep paralysis. So the first episode, I guess it's kind of key to know. I was living back with my parents. I think I was still in high school. And everyone would sleep with their doors open. My room's at the end of a hallway. And if you went outside of my door and you turned left, you could go right into my parents' room. So it's like an L shape of doors to both rooms. Hmm. And I'm laying in bed. Of course, I get the sleep paralysis. And, you know, you can see around the room, but you can't move or say anything. Hmm. So you can't move, but if you could just imagine the sound of what it would sound like, 200 people just kind of running down that narrow hallway, just at full speed and yelling, just unintelligible yelling. Oh. That's what it sounded like. And by the time, of course, I could yell out, it was over. So by the time I got the words out, it all stopped and everything was normal. And then to tack on to that, a couple of years later, when I was in college, I had sleep paralysis again, but it was laying, looking up at the ceiling, and then this thing was leaning over the bed to look at me, it was this dark shadow with like a Clint Eastwood cowboy hat on, and just kind of leaned over, like, so you're looking straight up at it, and you're just looking down at you, no facial features or anything, just a shadow, and then, you know, leans back up, and it's gone.
Whoa.
So that morning, I get kind of curious and look it up, and that I guess shadow figure has actually been reported all over the world as like this sort of malicious entity. So I guess that's kind of interesting to note that. And I had no idea about this until it happened.
I was getting goosebumps.
Because of course that's, you don't think, oh, shadow hat man. And just, oh yeah, I saw that. So no, that was my experiences with sleep paralysis so far in life.
That's scary.
And maybe if Lisa has got one to kind of share with us.
Yeah, I actually had a sleep paralysis experience too, but at the time I had it, I didn't know that's what it was called. I was about 20 years old, and it was one Sunday afternoon, and I was taking a nap on the couch. I was still living at home at that time, and I woke up, but I couldn't move at all. My eyes were open and I could look around, but the rest of me couldn't move.
Okay.
And this sound came from in front of me that sounded like a malevolent hissing. Ooh. Like, and I'll do it for you. It's like just like that. Oh. And I just felt like it was not
friendly.
Friendly, yes. And so you can't move, and you're thinking, you know, oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And then eventually, and I don't really completely understand sleep paralysis, but eventually I was able to move again.
Okay.
But you're fully awake, and you can look around with your eyes, but you cannot move your body. And when I heard that sound, I felt like it was I felt like it was an evil presence.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I've never had sleep paralysis, but when I was a kid living in Ohio, I would have these dreams, and it was always like talking about a shadow, but it was like some kind of shadow, and it was always me like going down the stairs or up the stairs. And I used to sleepwalk, but this was never when I was actually sleepwalking. But then something would happen, and I would get really scared, and it was like I could feel myself go back into my bed, like this whoosh.
Wow.
And like I was, but it was all, I mean, it was all a dream. Because I would wake up and I was in my bed and I was asleep. It was like I was going down the stairs and like a shadow, I was following a shadow or a shadow was usually following me. And I just remember I was always scared. And then right when I would like totally freak out, it was like, whoosh. It's like the sucking. Wow. You know that sound on Lost when they do the. First time I heard that on Lost, I was like, "Oh no!" Immediately took me back to being a kid. I was like, "Oh my god, I'm so scared." All right, but so I've never had that. But yeah, that's interesting with the shadow figures.
Yeah.
But I never had the hat, so I don't
know. I hope you never have to see the hat. It was scary, especially looking it up and seeing all this stuff about it. I'm like, okay, let's never do that again. No, let's skip that.
Ooh, I had goosebumps.
Maybe Savannah's got one.
You know, I sometimes wonder if, like, the clairvoyant psychic world has a name for people like me, because I have been way into, like, horror ghost type things ever since I was a child. Like, that sort of thing I've always loved it. So, ever since I was a kid, I have made several attempts to intentionally put myself in the line of fire for some sort of supernatural thing to happen to me. Every time I see something on Facebook that's, like, most haunted place in the world, no one can ever stay there overnight. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, really? But, you know, every supposedly most haunted place in North Carolina, Georgia, whatever, anytime I ever go there, that nothing happens to me. So I just feel like I enter a place that is so cursed and so haunted, and I just void everything. Like, I cancel everything out, and I'm just like, then nothing happened to me at all. So sometimes I wonder if there's just a name for people like me that just, the ghosts are like, nope, not doing this today.
Well, I'm freaked out, so you want to spend the night?
I guess I can kind of add to this. Maybe she does void it out, because we were in Savannah back in December on vacation, and we stayed in this haunted hotel.
One of the most haunted ones in Savannah. It's called Planters Inn. It's one of the most haunted ones. Just about everyone who stays there has some sort of weird experience.
Now me, I'm really susceptible to that sort of thing. So you think I would have experienced something? The only thing I heard was her getting up to pee one night. That's the only thing I ever heard.
That was the extent of our super.
That was the extent
scary.
Of it. So
I feel like I wonder if the ghosts know I'm coming in there to have a laugh, and they're like, no, if you're gonna treat this like a big joke, then we're not gonna do this today. So they're just being petty, and they don't want to play games with me. So I think. I think
there might be something to that, though, like certain energies.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like, not a force field, but like.
Well, we're not going to scare her, so we'll just take the night off.
I'd like to explore that. Like, if certain people just have this sort of energy that just nothing messes with them, I'd love to read into that further, because, like, yeah, I have intentionally been that stupid jock guy in the scary movies that always gets killed first by the monster. That's me. But nothing ever happens, so.
Well, good.
Well, I know when I was 9, I had a severe burn on my arm and my side, and so I had to go into the hospital to have surgery for it. They were trying to fix and repair the dead skin. And so it was my first time really being in the hospital as a kid old enough to remember anything. And I remember my parents were there and everything like that, but then, you know, there wasn't really anything to do, and back then, they, rather than you checking into the hospital at 5:30 in the morning, they'd make you come in the night before, do all your pre-ops and stuff like that. So my parents had left, and there wasn't anything on the 5 channels on the TV or whatever, and there was a little girl that was sleeping next to me, but it was like her 3rd or 4th trip to the hospital. She had bitten on like an electrical cord when she was a kid, so they were trying to repair the scarring around that, and so she was asleep, but I was the one next to the window, so I had all the street lights shining bright into me, and being little, I didn't think I was allowed to get up and pull the blinds down, so I remember falling asleep, and then I woke up, and it was the middle of the night, and there was this woman leaning on a mop just staring at me. And I looked up, and it was obvious that she worked at the hospital, and she was mopping the floors and stuff, and so she was looking over at the other girl, and I said, you know, she'd had her surgery that day, and I'm like, well, the doctor said she'll be all right, and she just kind of nodded at me, and I said, what's your name? And she said, Clara. And I said, hi, Clara, you know, my Cherry Joe and stuff like that. And I said, I'm having surgery tomorrow. And she said, you're going to be okay. And then she just mopped and walked out. And so when the nurse came to check on me, she's like, you're awake. And I'm like, yeah, Clara was just here. And she's like, who's Clara? I'm like, you know, the lady who does mopping. She's like, honey, there's nobody that mops at night when there's people here.
And I'm like, well, I don't know who she was, but she was here.
No.
How old were you?
9.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So, but my surgery went fine. Everything was fine. But I just went back. I wasn't malevolent. I wasn't scared. But the nurse was just like, there's nobody that works here named Clara. So I'm like, well, either she was some weird lady that just came in and ran off to the hospitals. Wow. Or, you know, she was somebody else. But it wasn't like they said, oh, no, she died or whatever. Yeah. They were just like, there's nobody named Clara. So I don't know who it was, but it was I mean, the fact that I still remember her name. Mm-hmm. And I haven't thought about that till we all started talking about stories. But anyway, so I think there's, you know, the spirits of both mm-hmm. sides mm-hmm. out there. So. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really cool how, like, children are so prone to that kind of thing. I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine when we were on the way up to Raleigh for a concert because she was really prone to seeing spirits when she was very young. And she brought up a really good point that perhaps the reason that children are so prone to seeing this kind of thing is because they
aren't so cynical.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, she grew up with a family that was very spiritual, and so when she said she saw something, like, they weren't like, oh, it was nothing, honey. They were like, go on, what did you see? Mm. And so I think that when you're a child, your brain does less and less to try to justify what you've seen and make an explanation out mm-hmm. of it. So I think that that's, you know, as you get older, your brain tries to say, make excuses for what you see, like, oh, a shadow or, you know, a light passing by. And so you do less and less of that as a kid. Yeah. And so I think that that's why, you know, it's listen to your kids when they say they saw something because they probably did.
Oh, my goodness.
Tiffany, you look a little freaked out over here.
Yeah, I'm easily freaked out. And I'm thinking about, like, the fact that there's been several times in the apartment I currently live in where, like, I'll be sleeping and I wake up and it feels like somebody crawled in, like, the bed shifts, like somebody laid in bed next to me, and you kind of like wake up a little bit and you're like, what? And then you look and there's no one there, and then I immediately fall back to sleep. But, like, now you guys have freaked me the fuck out.
You're welcome.
And I'm taking an Ambien tonight.
And the light's going to be on.
Well, then our job here is done.
We actually had a couple ladies talk to us before one of our tours and tell us a similar story. Two twin sisters and their mom live in Waxhaw, and their house, they had a similar experience is what you described in their house.
I guess it's a good time to mention when I was living at UNCC, when I went to school there in an apartment on campus, and we always had really weird things happen, but this one is the weirdest thing that ever happened. So Brandon was my roommate, and we lived together the entire way through college, from first day of freshman year to the very end. And so we were very close and everything. So it was our junior year, and I had caught something on a trip to Raleigh. Me and a friend went up to Raleigh to see Miranda Sings live, and we had come back, and I got horribly sick. So I had already been to the doctor one time. They gave me medicine, but I had this horrible, like, whooping cough, and I just couldn't get rid of it. So I would be up late at night just because you can't sleep. So Brandon, one morning, recollects a story that he had gotten up, and it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and my light was on, but there was no noise. So he just kind of goes, okay, goes to the bathroom. It was all the doors to the rooms were on one side of the wall, and myself and Brandon shared, like, a half bath straight across from where our doors were. So he comes out of the bathroom, the light's still on, you can see through the crack of the door, so he decides to go knock on the door to see what's going on. Well, the second he goes to knock on the door, the light turns out, and he was running in the room. Now, these rooms weren't big. Mm-mm. They're fairly small rooms, so there's not really much room to run around in. Huh. And it's just silent. So that morning, when I see him, he tells me this story, and I slept perfectly through the night that night, so I have no idea what was going on in that room, but I can promise you I definitely wasn't up. And I also wasn't taking cough medicine or anything because it made me too drowsy during the day. So it was definitely not me running around in that bedroom.
Wow.
Carol, any stories to share?
I think Tiffany needs that mop lady.
Yeah. It'll be okay.
Oh, Lord.
Not to me personally, but I did work for 15 years for the Renaissance Festival. And I came out here in 1994 to help build the festival on the site.
And it was ancient Indian burial grounds, wasn't it?
Well, we don't know. But what happened was we built the joust grounds where they held the jousting tournaments. And we had set aside a section for the horses because the horses need stables and stuff. But there was one section of the grounds that the horses would not go on. And we had actually, that was the planned route from the stables to the jousting arena. But the horses would not go on that trail. At all. So we had to actually circumnavigate that and do a whole new trail because the horses just simply wouldn't go there. And it's not something that the jousters were like, we haven't noticed anything, but the horses won't go on the path. So we had to actually build a whole nother path and actually move the stables a bit because they wouldn't go to the joust arena.
Animals are woke. They are so woke.
But once we moved the path, they were fine. And it was just that one section of the grounds where they were just like, nope, we're not going there. You're going to have to lead us somewhere else.
So speaking of paths and sleeping through the night, would you guys stay over in the garage with Field and hang around with us and talk a little bit more on episode 130?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, Carol.
We're pushing the button. There's our ghost story right there.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstock. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.